CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, as usual, Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lions.
Dumela, Gary, and dumela to our listeners. And yes, today I'm in a very spiritual place.
Yeah, it is going to be, the first half is going to be really spiritual. Today we have two segments, though. First up, we're going to be talking religion. Yes, our guests in studio today are all members of the Baha'i, B-A-H-A-I, faith, which is the world's youngest religion.
First time hearing it, and I must confess, I'm willing to listen and hear what is it all about.
Lines, the Baha'i faith enjoys a worldwide following in excess, I believe, of 6 million people.
Allah, Allah, praise to the Lord.
More about this in a mo. Let's talk about the second segment, which we'll come to later on. We're going to be talking law, wonderful law, with Dr. Llewellyn Kerr-Lewis.
The man with the brains. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, you remember him. He's criminal an attorney. Lawyer. Absolutely. At Pieterse and Kerr-Lewis in Pretoria. I think he also lectures at the university.
UP. Yeah. Yeah. No. He's a brilliant, a fountain of knowledge. I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah. Lines, the subject matter of that discussion with Dr. Kerr-Lewis is about what we term in law separation of powers. Now, this is really newsworthy and interesting right now, as the ruling party, the ANC, is claiming that the courts are interfering with the running of the government, and the opposition is screaming that the courts must step up and step in and save us from Zuma. So we're going to ask you on this particular one what you think, and please stay online because that one's going to come up in the second half. We're going to give you the WhatsApp number so you can WhatsApp us your questions, please.
Oh yes, if people are already online, they can actually save the number, which is 079-748-2090, 079-748-2090.
Yeah, let us know on WhatsApp. I know most of our listeners listen on podcast.
Oh yeah,
that's the way Cliff Central is. But if you're listening live and you think that the court should step away a bit, or whether they should step in more and help us, then let us know what your views are. Lionel's just given you.
I do have a view already. I'm boiling.
You can email us after the show to law@cliffcentral.com. And then please, our Facebook page, have a quick look at that one. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. And our Twitter handle, Lines, you know that one.
It's at Hertz Law, which is HERTZLAW. And please do give us any comment pertaining the topics that you would like us to talk about. And if you really feel that the show is really not addressing issues that are actually central, give us the feedback.
Yeah, Blanche, we fortunately don't have many of those. But anyway, let's move on to our guest today on the Baha'i Faith. It's Kwesi Sinenda. Say it properly, Kwesi.
Sinenda.
Okay. Forgive me. And also Kuli Zipete.
Yes.
Welcome, ladies. Great to have you in studio.
Thank you. In my opening,
when I opened the show, I said that the Baha'i Faith has a worldwide following in excess of 6 million. How many followers would you estimate you have in South Africa?
You know, the numbers are very difficult to ascertain because there are thousands and thousands of people who are involved in Baha'i community building activities. Mm. Some recognize themselves as Baha'is and others don't. So we've become less obsessed about who identifies themselves as Baha'is and more obsessed with who's actually working on the ground and trying to transform society.
Kwesi, your world center, I think, is in Haifa, Israel.
That's
Haifa,
correct.
They call it.
Yes.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
How big is it?
It's quite big. I mean, it's quite a big portion of the city. It's quite a big portion of Mount Carmel, where many Baha'i, the shrines are, and Baha'i administrative seat of the Universal House of Justice are, and other special buildings to Baha'is are situated, and Baha'is go there on pilgrimage, over and above going to Bahji, which is also another city within Israel, as well as Acre, where Baha'is go on pilgrimage.
Haifa is a beautiful city. I've been there. Yeah, it's a great place. I thought of why was that chosen? Because I think your religion originates from Persia, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Haifa.
Kuli, yeah.
Haifa became chosen, maybe it was not chosen, it was a plan of God, as Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder, manifestation of God, of the Baha'i faith, immediately declared his mission as the promised one. He was exiled from his country of birth, and at that time, around 1863, the whole Middle East, including Israel, up to Iran, was under Ottoman Empire. So he was a prisoner of that government. So the Acre, the historians will know, was the most great prison where all the baddies were sent there. So Baha'u'llah was a prisoner in Acre, and he died there. And Mount Carmel, as we know from prophecy, is also a significant place.
Right.
So it ended
there. Makes sense. The Baha'i faith, I believe, teaches there's only one God, which makes you monotheistic. I think that's the term. Meaning that you belong, all of you, and that we all, according to your faith, belong to one human family. And your prophet, as you mentioned, Baha'u'llah, decreed that all the world's religions come from the same God.
That is correct.
Yeah. And really that you put onto this earth to unite humanity. Just expand on that a little for us.
Excellent. So Baha'u'llah teaches us that all source of knowledge is one. And so some people call him God, others call him Uqamata, others call him Allah. And so there are these all these different names for that universal educator or that one source of power that some of us simply call God. And what we believe is that all the religions of God come from this one source. So it's like chapters of a book. You know, each manifestation comes and gives us a chapter of God's guidance, God's love, what he wants for us, and really the spiritual as well as the social teachings to help us live for the time. And then another, you know, manifestation comes after 1,000 years or so when we've forgotten what God has taught us and we're no longer living by his laws to come and tell us what God had said we must do in terms of how we should live. But then they come and expand to help us live with the progression because humanity progresses and that can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. And so these manifestations give us social as well as spiritual laws to help us guide and live with the times. So all these chapters are building onto this one religion of God. And so Baha'u'llah is the latest of these manifestations and certainly not the last because humanity will progress and they will need guidance once we have moved past this stage that we're in. So some of the principles of the faith relate to the times that we live in today, like unity of races, which would not have been relevant 10,000 years ago when people didn't live, you know, like we would see, for example, in South Africa today, where the diversity is just so obvious and we still need to live with each other and understand that we all come from the same source.
Kwesi, let's just go back a little and understand the religions, the other religions. Throughout the ages, I believe that God has sent divine messages, among them Abraham, Krishna, Moses, Buddha, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, and in more recent times, your very prophet, which you term a manifestation. And according to your belief, the purpose of the manifestation of your prophet is to educate humanity.
Exactly.
Explain that a little deeper.
Okay. Yeah. So it's educating us in terms of the spiritual laws that we are given. So those govern how we internally and our inner beings and souls should be in order for them to be able to reflect the qualities of God. Mm. And then it's to teach us then in terms of all the things that are amongst us, how we should deal with them as well. So for example, you look at just something as simple as one universal language. There was a time when humanity didn't have a concept of a universe. So if there was, you know, Abraham started talking about a universal language, humanity would just not understand, and it's simply because they were just not ready for it, you know? Mm. Whereas that in today's world, where we know that there's intertrade between between countries and continents, where people live across, you know, different continents, where people need to engage, it makes sense that maybe we should work towards having a universal language over and above your home language, so you don't lose your home language, but a universal language that will help us communicate, because communication across the world has become a real need for the time that we live in, you know? Mm. So it's that kind of education, a spiritual education, as well as a social education, economic education.
Yeah, let's try and distinguish your religion from, say, Christianity. So can you do that? Can you explain to our listeners who may be Christians, what is the difference between what you do and what the Christians believe in?
Okay. First, we accept that all religions are from one source, which is God. Mm. And the purpose of them is to keep mankind or humanity together. And this, as Kwesi said, it happens at different stages according to maturity of mankind. Yesterday, for example, I say, in time, I'm not literally meaning yesterday, there was religion, Christianity, and it was the latest at that moment. According to maturity of mankind, God had sent Jesus Christ, which we, as a Baha'i, I believe, he was from God, he was true, he was one of those divine teachers, bringing education to mankind. But today, 2017 years later, I still believe there's a new divine teacher that has come. Your question, what's the difference? Mm. Is that these two people, Jesus Christ and Baha'u'llah, came to teach humanity about, as Kwesi said, spiritual laws and social laws. Mm. But they are like teachers. You can use the analogy of teachers in an education system, teachers and professors. If I'm in grade 5, the teacher is good, is teaching me what is relevant for my age and for my class. But when I go to grade 6 the following year, I love my grade 5 teacher, but I cannot be stuck to her. I have now to follow the instructions and the education of the grade 6 teacher. But these two teachers, it doesn't mean the grade 5 teacher was incapable of teaching me what the grade 6 teacher is, or the grade 6 teacher is more. It's just that the time for me as a student is different. So we take all these divine manifestations as those divine teachers at different times. So the difference, strictly difference, is that today as a Baha'i, I live same spiritual laws which promote changeless God, eternal in the past, eternal in the future, but the social laws that Baha'u'llah has come are slightly different from the laws that Jesus Christ gave me 2,000 years ago.
But I just really, because I hear these principles and the teachings, look at South Africa where it is today, and I'm thinking of Nelson Mandela. Can other people take Nelson Mandela's principles of what he believed then and turn that into a religion which brings a set of community people together just so that they now start progressing in terms of human interaction and stuff like that?
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if they can, but however, in terms of the laws of the faith and the principles that the faith has revealed, these are revealed more than 170 years ago. So I don't know if it's Mandela taking from one or the other taking from Mandela, but we believe that Baha'u'llah was divinely ordained. He, like we call him a manifestation, and all other teachers, which means that it's God revealed on earth. So those principles are not man-made, but it's somebody who comes, who's got a station above a human being, but who lives amongst us in order to be able to commune with us, in the same way that we know that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary human being, but he was in human form and lived amongst humans, as was Muhammad, the Buddha, Abraham, and some of the great teachers.
I know, Kwesi, that the Baha'is accept Jesus Christ wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
And you honor the celebration of his birth, but you don't really celebrate Christmas as a community.
So, I mean, it's with every other, as with every other religion. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we believe that they're all from the same God, that what they brought on earth is what God wants, and so we honor them all. However, if Baha'is had to celebrate every single holy day of every single religion, we would really never do any work.
Well, let's talk about your holidays. You observe the fast, yes, which is called the Baha'i fast.
Yes.
When does that take place and for how long is that?
So that's for 19 days because that's how long a Baha'i month is.
Is that from sunrise to sunset?
From sunrise. So we abstain from all food and drink from the time the sun rises in the morning until evening time. Mm. And it's obviously a time for spiritual renewal. Mm. And the fast happens the month before Baha'is observe the new year, Nowruz, which is on the 21st of March. So it's almost like a time of cleansing. It's a time of reflection. Mm. And it's time of really thinking of beyond just yourself. And obviously, you know, when you're hungry, you know, like it's a good time to think, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a space of suffering, that's when you start thinking more than just yourself.
Is it very similar to the Muslim Ramadan fast? I mean, that's longer.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's on right now. If I'm
yes, it is Ramadan right now. Yeah. Yes.
Is it kind of a similar concept?
It is. It's a similar concept, and many more religions observe the fast in a similar way. Yes.
Also, I believe that you don't drink and take drugs, which is a good thing. Is that complete?
Yes. As we said, when a manifestation of God, even to respond to your question, I cannot wake up and say I have these pretty nice ideals. One distinguishing feature of a divine manifestation, he brings these two sets of laws, spiritual laws, which are the same throughout religions, and social laws. And the social laws, actually, Baha'u'llah states himself, say, don't think we talking in God's language. We have just revealed a mere code of laws. These laws are keys to your own freedom. I'm quoting him. To as a human being, all the laws that the manifestation of God, whether it's Christ or Muhammad or Baha'u'llah, are for my true liberation as a human being. Coming straight to your alcohol question, actually, one of the central figures of the Baha'i Faith asks a question when he addresses this issue of drugs, substance, alcohol, whatever. He says, as a noble being, because we believe as human beings we are created noble by God, and God, as human beings, we also are given one distinction feature from all the other created things, that is power of understanding or intellect. Now, he's asking, would you want for a moment that your highest quality, which is intellect, is not in a full capacity? We know what scientifically alcohol does to cells and our own stability. When I'm not in local, say you are warm or whatever, when you are drunk, it's because scientifically, biologically, alcohol does something to your brain cells or drugs. So, the point is, this law is to liberate us so that we are full conscious of what happens around us as human being to advance ever advancing civilization.
Kuli, you were born into a Christian home.
Yes.
What switched you? What was the defining factor that you said I'm moving on?
And very interesting. I was not just a Christian home. I would classify as fanatic, very staunch. But I, as I was growing up, I always had this question. And we know religious history, sometimes you cannot be free to ask whatever. You told that, hey, God doesn't want what God declares, God declares. But when I was 18, I had personal issues with myself. I had so many questions and I had no platform to ask. Because my mother and my grandmother really. And but fortunately, and I don't know whether it's fortunate, through the grace of God, when I was 19, I first heard of the Baha'i Faith. And I just became curious. And actually, nobody even taught me. I searched, I read books. And then it just resonated. One thing that resonated.
Yeah, what was it that resonated?
It was the principle says, independent search for truth. That hit me like, and it says, as a human being, you must independently search the truth. And then the question, what is truth? And truth, you get into a journey, and truth will come through a clash of ideas and ideologies. And if you purify your heart, I cannot explain how physical, you search with a pure heart and a clear mind, you will find. And then further other principles like Kwesi mentioned.
I know before the show, you told me how passionate you both are about your faith, yeah, which is nice to see. I know that you believe, or the Baha'is believe in the fundamental equality of the sexes, and you've come out very strongly on this one, Kwesi, and you've quoted, or you've been quoted as saying that a woman has greater moral courage than a man, and that a woman has special gifts. You cite the South African idiom, which I quote, you strike a woman, you strike a rock. You want to repeat that in your language?
That is actually from the Baha'i faith, not the Watinda Bafazi, but the principle that says, where Abdul Baha says, woman has greater moral courage. Mm-hmm. And you see that even in the animal kingdom, you know, where the lioness is a lot fiercer than the lion. Mm-hmm. You know, the date grower knows that, you know, the female date is much more appreciated. And it's because society has shown it, and I think in South Africa we have clear examples of how women are carrying communities. Mm-hmm. You know, in any instance where there is a woman, we're not only driven by the interlinked. We don't see the world as black and white, mm-hmm, which men generally do. You know, we exercise compassion in situations.
Well, on that very note of black and white, and we're running out of time, so I'm pushing you. You also, your faith believes, and I think we all should, in the elimination of racial prejudice. Mm. And you grew up believing that there should be no racial prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not applicable to all religions?
It's applicable to all religions, and it's applicable to every single person on earth. However, no other religion has been explicit about it. Mm. And the Baha'i faith, being the youngest of the world's religions, brought this principle in the 19th century when it was most applicable, because people were living in environments where there were different races. However, the oppression of one race over the other was also very blatant, and has been blatant for many decades and centuries, you know. So it was at a time when humanity needed to understand that, you know, the very essence of who we are, no matter how we look,
we are one human family.
In fact, the diversity is beautiful. Baha'u'llah makes the analogy of a flower garden. A garden with just white flowers or red flowers does not look as beautiful as a garden that has many diverse types of flowers, diverse colors of flowers. And our diversity should actually be our strength, and not something that breaks us up, because it's through that diversity that we're able to bring better things out. I mean, imagine if you and your wife, or myself and my husband, thought exactly the same way and did everything exactly the same way. We could never have, you know, a better home.
It's your husband is in studio. We're not going to call any. I promised I wouldn't. He's a Christian.
Well, he's not a practicing Christian, sure, but when we met, he was a Christian and a practicing Christian.
Yeah.
However, now he identifies himself as spiritual, you know, and he always says, actually, I'm going to now expose you. He always says if he had to choose a religion, it would be the Baha'i faith. And it's because of him searching. And in fact, he uses the faith to argue against me. Mm. So I realized that he actually researches in private. Mm. And then when he needs to build an argument, he uses the principles of the faith.
Now, this is quite interesting. And what is your view with regard to homosexuality? Because you believe in diversity, mm-hmm, and you painted this beautiful picture.
Absolutely. Mm. So our belief is that the purpose of why we were created on earth is to, you know, and why there is marriage, is to bring forth children who will make mention of God on earth. So just from a biological perspective, two men or two women are not able to reproduce a man who would, you know, another generation.
They
you know?
Can, by the way.
So, well, I mean, not naturally, but there are scientific means that, you know, humanity has been able to come up with, and nobody can deny that.
What about one of the laws is that you are obliged to obey the government and not participate in partisan politics. Obey the government, is that
you want things for a second, what do partisan politics do? They divide people into smaller groups. That's one reason.
Yeah.
The purpose of religion is to unite people, not to divide. Another purpose of Baha'i faith is that, or all religions, that people, a clash of ideas will bring the reality. But partisan politics, I don't listen to him. Yeah. We'll talk about further about homosexuality.
Well, talk about it outside. Yeah, outside we've yes. kind of run out of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank you both very much for coming and expressing your passion, and which is your faith. It's called the Baha'i, B-A-H-A-I, as I said, religion. Your temple, what do you call it? Your place of worship?
Yeah.
North Riding.
It's in North Riding, yes, on Bellairs Drive.
Okay, the website is baha'i.co.za.
.org. Yes.
If you want to just read up more on it, good on you. I've spent some time reading. Mm. It's quite hard to understand, I must be honest. I know... It's spiritual and it's kind of deep from your side. Yeah. Well done,
thank
girls.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
The voices, that was Kwezi. I won't pronounce your surname.
Thank you.
The moment you say Kwezi, people are going to associate it with the president.
She's alive as well.
So
please don't. Goodbye to you. We're going to have a picture with you. While we're having the picture, we just need to tell our listeners that coming up right now, we have on the line from Pretoria, Dr. Llewellyn Ker-Lewis, he's an attorney, and we're going to be discussing separation of powers. Who is running this country? Are the courts running it, or is the government running it? It is so interesting. Don't run away. We'll be right back. It'll be on a separate podcast, though. We'll be back.
CliffCentral.com.